Well, greetings to you this morning. What a privilege and honor it is to be here. Andy and I really love Richard and Jackie, the family, but we also love this church. You have a very special part in our hearts, and we've walked some difficult roads over the last little while. And, you know, when my mom died and it was in COVID, there was a couple that arrived at our online memorial. They didn't have to be there, but they came. And at our high moments and low moments, this couple has got on a plane, come to be with us. And so we want to say thank you, Anthem, for releasing them, sending them, being part of that. And Rich and Jack, thank you. We love you guys dearly. We love you guys dearly. Father, this morning, would you capture our very hearts and souls? We want to be tender towards you and your word. We want to allow the breath of God just to come deeply minister to us. Spirit of the living God, would you do this now for your glory and honor? I don't know about you, but we're already in April. And I determined this year to be a year where I add more life to my years instead of years to my life. And maybe it's just because, you know, I'm into the 60s and life goes very quick, isn't it? And but now it's like April and I'm going like, where's my life gone? I mean, not my years, but, you know, I want to add life to my years, not just years to my life. I want my years to count. But it's in those day-to-day moments that we got to allow the life of God to add more life to our life rather than years just to our life and not go. God has given us a purpose. Yeah. And if I could say one thing to the young people in this room is know God's purpose and get doing it quickly. Yeah. I've been, anybody found yourself saying something like this, by this time, I should. Yes. By this time, we should be whatever. Yeah. By this time, we should be able to retire. By this time, we should have had more kids. Or by this, mind you, by this time, I should be a millionaire. By this time, I should have been able to retire. By this time, yeah. By this time, I think we do that, and maybe even subconsciously, by this time, maybe even as a church, you may be saying, but by this time, we should. And you have an incredible history. It goes over a centurion. It's just incredible. And it's how long since you changed your name, Rich? 2017. Sorry? 7 years. Perfect number. 7 years. And you got to go like, by this time we should be. When we planted our church 30 years ago, Andy really thought that in 6 months we'd be 500. And that by a few years, we'd be thousands. And so by this time, we're still 30 years down the line. And I think she's more disappointed in me that we didn't be able to achieve the by this time. And yet God has done incredible things when we look backwards, isn't it? I always say that I think something of the kingdom of God, it works backwards, we know that. Upside down, inside out. But it's we walk forwards looking back and saying, look what God's done. And I want us as a church this morning to look backwards and see what God has done. Yeah. And by this time next year, yes. I said this in a video clip, I think, to you at Summit, in the Summit conference. And I want to just expound upon that. I believe that God wants to minister to each one of us individually, but also to the church this morning. And so my meditations are really around Abraham and his life and Genesis. Abraham, in chapter 18 of Genesis, it's the middle of his story. There's, I think, 12 chapters around Abraham's story, and it starts at chapter 12, goes through to 18, and then 24. So this is like the center point of the story, chapter 18, and I have had just God minister out of this chapter, which I just want to share some meditations. Is that right? I'll just keep going, and then when the keyboardist comes up, I'll know that I have to stop. Is that all right? Cliff, can I get some water from underneath your chair? It seems like you've got the stash there. Oh, thank you. And many times when we get to say this, by this time, it's because some kind of a mess has happened in our life. Maybe an unwise decision. Maybe something just came from out where we didn't, you know, whatever it could be. It could be an accident. It could be an abuse. It could be many different things. You know, we always seem to be trying to unravel some kind of mess. And I find that mess is a messy thing, isn't it? It's like you're trying to unravel this thing and it becomes complex. A friend of mine, or a friend that I'm beginning to know, a Texan pastor, he said to us recently, he said that the gospel is a simple solution to a complex issue. And sin complicates things, doesn't it? And the mess of life comes to get in. And so here we see Abraham, and God calls him, chapter 12 in Genesis, and he calls him and he says, and the Lord said to Abraham, say said. So this was a spoken word. Abraham obeys, and he moves to a land that was very far away, into a foreign place, and into that place, verse 7 of chapter 5 says, and the Lord appeared to him. Say appeared. It means to become visible. Many people want God to be visible before they have obeyed. And it's through our obedience to the word of God that he'll become more visible to us. This actually the story of Abraham, as if you look at it, he says, then the Lord said, and then he appeared. And if you go on and says, then the Lord said to Abraham, in fact, he said more than he appeared. Chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to him in a vision. So he has a saying, he has an appearing, and then he comes in a vision, and he has this encounter with God. And he has a covenant with God. And then many years later, he gets to chapter 17 in the story. And he's 99 years old. And he still has not received the promise of God. To understand this, if you're new to church and the Bible and you don't understand it, this is Abraham, the father of faith. It says God is teaching us something through this. And he gives him a promise that he would have a son. And through his son, and then the generations following that, that all people on earth will be blessed. So he gets a promise, chapter 12, and by chapter 18, it's still not there. And it's 24 years. How many of you have been waiting for a promise of God for 24 years? By this time, we should be. And I think that for all of us, doesn't matter, even if you're 24 years old, if you just take a percentage of your life, even 6 years or 3 years, that's quite long for a 24-year-old. By this time. By this time. And so there is this place where they get to Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and it seems like, and you've got to read the story. I hope that me leaving some parts out will make you go and read it again. And that God will speak to you through his word more than he would speak to me. Yes. Speaks to you through me. I do want to try and hear God before I speak for God, but you need to go and hear God, just not what we speak. Yes. It's the spoken word. Get into the word. And so I just want to give a bit of context and then we'll dive into chapter 18. But Abraham and Sarah, they get to this place where they are grappling with the inability to have a child. And it doesn't seem to happen. And eventually, even though God has promised it, they get to a place where Sarah says, I must be the problem, because they didn't have the beautiful scientific ways today of finding out who is the problem in a marriage about having kids. So it was kind of like, well, I must be the problem. It was sleep with my maidservant and let's see if you're the problem or I'm the problem. I know the Bible doesn't say that, but I think that's what was happening. So Abraham sleeps with the maidservant, Hagar, and they have a child and they named him Ishmael. And we all know that that created a very big mess in Abraham's life and even today. And so they've now got a mess on their hands. Anybody, okay, you don't have to indicate, but anybody feeling like I've got this big mess and I don't know how to unravel it? There's a simple story that will unravel a very complex issue. And so God comes to them, comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I'm going to change your name. You were Abram without an H. Now you're going to be Abraham, father of many. And he puts an H into Abraham's name. And he says, and by the way, you're going to change your wife's name too. You're no longer going to call her Sarai. You're going to call her Sarah, which is the princess. I'm going to add an H to her name too. And Abraham is like, are you kidding me? And he says, and listen, and you can pick it up. You look at it in chapter 17, because God is speaking to him, and he's on his face, and he says, listen, you need to be circumcised. And so this is quite a significant sort of moment in time. And in that, he still can't believe it. Why? Because his wife has gone through menopause. We'll read that just now. I'm giving you insight. She's gone through menopause, so she's unable to have kids now. It's impossible. Once you've gone through menopause, it's impossible. So what was probable has now become impossible. Anybody facing a mess or a situation in your life that's now impossible? You think it's impossible. It's done. I mean, Sarah's gone into menopause. It's now impossible for me to have a child. The promise is impossible. In your mind and the way we see things, the promise becomes impossible. Because we're looking at it through our own eyes, isn't it? And so Abraham is telling God this. And God says, no, I am, about this time next year, Sarah will have a child. And he goes, it's impossible, God. She's gone through menopause. It's impossible. And then he says to God, and he's bargaining with him. He said, what about Ishmael? Maybe Ishmael. Because he says, let me just find it. So he gets to a place where he goes, it's in chapter 17, and he says, but God, listen, what about just bless Ishmael, because I can't have the promise that you've given to me. So he says, bless Ishmael, and God says, no, but. He says, no, I won't give the promise through Ishmael. But then he says, I will bless Ishmael, but I will fulfill my promise. And so this is what it is. God will bless your mess, but he will never settle for your mess. Isn't that incredible? I want to tell you, if you've messed up, God will still bless your mess, but he won't accept your mess as the future. You see, we must never confuse blessing with destiny. Just because you're blessed does not mean to say you've got the promises of God and walking in the promises of God. Because God will bless even Ishmael. So God will bless the unrighteous even if he wants to. Blessing must never get confused. Oh, I'm blessed. That doesn't mean anything. Are you walking in the destiny that God has for you? Are we fulfilling the promises that God has given to us? And we say, oh, but God, I messed up. Will you just bless my mess? He said, I'll bless your mess, but I won't accept it because I want to give a promise to you through my intended purposes. No, but ever run into a no but of God? I think somebody here this morning is realizing that God is saying, no, but. And I've realized that a no, but is better than a no. And so that causes me to read on, and you'll see that. And so we get to chapter 18, and Abraham has gone home that very day. He circumcised himself at 99. And his whole family, and all the male people in his household. And so at that sort of stage in life, it must be very difficult, very uncomfortable. So I don't know how long it takes to sort of recover at 99 from circumcision. But I reckon Abraham kind of... he may have kind of walked very gingerly for quite a while. And then he gets to chapter 18. Wow, let's go. And he says, and the Lord, that's Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh, as we were singing, appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. The Lord became visible. So it's telling us what's going to happen here. And he appears to him by the oaks of Mamre. Mamre means strength and fatness. So Abraham was living in a place of strength and fatness, but he still had not received the promises of God. You may be very rich and wealthy, and you may be living in the best suburbs. I want to tell you is that you may still be living outside of the promises of God. You're in the right place, you're in a good place, you're in a strengthened place, but are the promises of God actually being fulfilled in your life? The purpose for which God grabbed hold of you. Remember, blessing does not equate to purpose. And so he goes on and he said, and he sat at the door, say door, of his tent in the heat of the day. When I read that, I said, what the heck is Abraham doing sitting in a doorway in the heat of the day? I mean, he's by the oaks of Mamre. These are beautiful big trees. That's where the shade is. This is where the coolness of the day is. And he's sitting in the heat of the day in the doorway of his tent. And you're going like, what are you doing there, bud? You should be in the shade. What are you doing in the doorway? And you know what? You don't sit in doorways, do you? Dogs do, yeah. But what was he doing sitting in a doorway? Why was he caught in between? See, doorways are transitions. You transition. They say that we walk through average of 50 doorways every day. And we don't give attention to doorways anymore, do we? Except that the door is locked and we have to break in or whatever. But doorways are transition times. And there's a transition about to take place here. And I want to say to you, Anthem, there's a transition. You're in a doorway. And this is a place and a moment not to be sitting down, but to do what Abraham's done and did here. But he was caught in this. His face, he was down because it says right after that, he lifted up his eyes. So he probably had his head in his hands. I reckon when we get to heaven one day, we'll watch the movie of this moment. And just prior to this, Abraham and Sarah had one massive ding-dong. They went at each other. They were, you know, like husband and wife. They took each other on. It's like Sarah's going, you've taken me away from my people and from my land, and you've brought me to this godforsaken place. You've dragged me up and down this land, and you've even lied about me. And then, you know, we've created a mess with my maidservant, and then you come along and you change my name. Maybe I'm wrong. I think there's some realness to the story that you have to see. And Abraham is going like, he's going like, after 24 years, you know it's impossible, Abraham. And I'm the problem because you can have kids, but I can't. And I, it's impossible now. And Abraham's just had an encounter with God. He's gone and circumcised himself. He's just recovering. I don't know. And he's in the midst of it. And the pressure's on. And I don't know what revolving door you may be caught in right now. And I don't know what kind of mess you may be in or wherever it is. I want us to say, as Abraham says, and he looked up. Say, looked up. Just lift your eyes to the hills from where the help comes from. Where does your help come from? It is the Lord. And it says, and he looked up, he lifted his eyes. You see, the thing about a door is this. You know the first mention of a door in Scripture? Who can tell me? What's the first mention of a door in Scripture? Cliff, you're a church planter. You should know all of these things. So Genesis chapter 4. Cain and Abel, they're the sons of Adam and Eve. One, Cain, Abel brings an offering, the first fruits of his flock. Cain brings an offering. It's not acceptable to God. And God and him are having a little bit of a ding-dong. And God comes to him and he says, Cain, you know what to do, it's right. So if you brought me the first, then you would have regard for your sacrifice, for your offering. You see, you can't bring God an offering. You have to bring God the first. He can't accept second. He's not second. He's first. So Cain is trying to bring an offering. You can't tip God. You first honor God. That's when Rich goes up, gets up, and he says, hey, you guys are amazing at your tithes and offerings. That's it. Tithe is the first. So when you honor God with the first, he can accept that. If you just give him, you can give money, but it's not the first. And so God comes to Cain. He says, you know what to do. It's right. He says, give the first. And he says this. If you don't, remember, now you'll know when it says that. He says, sin is crouching at the door, first mention. It's incredible that God says this to mankind. And I want to tell you that when we get caught in doors of transition and we go round and round and don't go through them, sin is crouching at the door. And the second mention of the door is when God shut Noah into the ark. And the third mention is right here. And we see this is a doorway of transition. And so here is Abraham, and he lifted up and he looked, and behold, I just needed to wake you up, some of you people. And behold, say behold. Behold. Now, I used to read beholds like they were just the doorways I walked through. Like I didn't, you know, behold. It's just like, behold, something's going to happen. You know, behold. Do you ever stop when you read behold? I never. I've read the Bible how many times? I never stopped at behold. I didn't realize that behold, especially when there's a comma after behold. Okay, when there's a comma after behold, the experts tell us that God and the Word and the Spirit-inspired Word is trying to say something to us because it's trying to reveal that something significant is about to be said or happen. Behold, I want to prophesy over this church and I want to prophesy over you that I want to say, behold, something significant is about to happen into your circumstance, into your mess, and wherever you may find yourself, behold. Now, the interesting thing about behold, it's the Hebrew word, hey. You're like, hey. Now, when they wrote hey, before they could write it in letters, they wrote in pictographs, pictures. So they would write this word, behold, in a picture. Now, you know, you don't have too much time to write pictures when you're writing. So what they did is they drew this picture. There it is. The pictograph in the early Hebrew is of a man standing in awe and wonder of God. It's like, hey, God! And then it progressed to Middle Hebrew and late Hebrew, and today in modern Hebrew, they use that word. It's the letter H. It's hey. It's the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the letter of grace. Just put your hands close to your mouth like this and go, hey, what happens? What did you feel? So many of the Jewish and the Hebrew scholars would say that hey represents the ruach of God. Hey. So right here in the story, God is breathing, behold, hey, into grace, favor. Behold, three men were standing in front of him. When I saw that, I was going like, hang on here, Lord. Chapter 12, you spoke and appeared. 13, 14, you've been appearing, you've been talking, you've come in a vision. God, you've been speaking. Every other time up until this point, God comes alone to Abraham. But when he's caught in the tent, in the doorway of the tent, in a mess, and he doesn't, and he's facing the impossible, there's three of them that come. He comes in a community. I'm going, what? He decides this is it. And you know what? They were standing there. Three men were standing there. They weren't running to him. They weren't walking to him. They were standing. And I believe that God is standing in front of us right now. Many of us, maybe our heads are down, and we don't realize that God is waiting for us. Behold, I'm standing at the door, and I'll knock. I'm standing. I'm already here. He's already in front of you. You need to look up. And I want you to see that you need to look up, and you'll see a community. I've been praying this prayer from the beginning of the year, Psalm 20. It's such a beautiful prayer as David was praying this. And he says, Lord, may help come from your sanctuary, that's heaven, the presence of God, and may support come from Zion, the church. Do you know that we can expect help from the sanctuary, from the presence and the power of God, but its support comes from community. The transition that we are needing to make, and I believe, is that there's needing a support from community. There's such an incredible example here. And when he saw them, he ran from his tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the earth, said, "Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your sight." Now remember, there was no confusion about whether Abraham knew this was the Lord or not. Yeah. Why? Because God had spoken, he had appeared, he had spoken, he had a vision, he had appeared, God spoken. He knew this was the Lord. Okay, so it wasn't like, is this an angel? Is this not? No, he knew the Lord. And he knew. So he runs to him, he says, "My Lord." And he says, "Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet, rest yourselves." This is hospitality, humility. And he says, "Then you can rest yourselves under the tree." So even though Abraham knew that he should rest under a tree, he was still sitting in a doorway. I want to help this morning to shift you from the doorway to the treeway. And so, let me go on. And so, this is it. "Since you have come to your servant," they said, "do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly, say quickly. Now, every time there's something quick or raised, I want you to say it with me. Is that all right? Okay. So they said, so Abraham went into the tent and Sarah and said, "Three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man and prepared it. And then he took curds of milk and calf and this and required, and he stood beset before them under the tree, and they ate. Friends, I want to tell you there's a run, there's a response that we need to when God stands in front of us. Don't delay. Don't keep going through the cycles and the revolving door that you're in. It's time to run out. It's time to run. It's time to get quick. It's time to do something quick. All right? Second thing is, I look at this and go, so we've been empowering some of our people, and we started baking bread a few years ago and on a Sunday. So we make our own bread so that we can have communion. And it's such, how many like fresh bread? Yeah. Anybody love fresh bread? Well, now it's called church bread, you know, anything. But we are now making over 40 kilograms of bread every Sunday. And we make it ourselves and the whole thing. And so I've got to understand a little bit of quantity. And I just went to the guys and I said, okay, on these quantities, how many people would this have fed, this quantity of flour and bread? And we worked out that it would feed 30 people. And a calf would be, you could feed at least 30 people. So here's the thing. Abraham prepares 10 times as much food than he could have. 10 times. Go like, are you kidding? When was the last time you gave 10 times as much than you should have? Now here's the claim. What I don't know is that this is the Lord standing there, and it's the messengers of heaven. Do they need to eat? They don't need earthly food. Do we all agree? So, did Abraham know that? Probably. Here's the deal. It's even though they didn't need to eat, Abraham still prepares 10 times as much for them when they didn't even need it. When did you give God 10 times as much even when he didn't need it? When did you do 10 times as much even when the church never asked you for it? And you go like, hang on here. What is happening here is because he's wanting to refresh. So he understands. He says, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. That word refresh is the first mention of the word support in Scripture. Support. It means refresh. So Proverbs says this, he who refreshes others will himself be. I think in church today we get this sort of things like, oh, you know, I've been serving, I'm so tired, I need a break, I need to step back. No, what you need to do is step forward, run quickly, and prepare 10 times as much. How many times are you serving a month? Once. Do it 10 times. Because when you refresh, Hang on here. Who are we refreshing? The people, the church, or are we doing it for the Lord? You see, the prayer in Psalm 20 carries on, and it says, Lord, I know that you remember every sacrifice and offering I give. When was the last 10 times offering sacrifice you gave that the Lord has remembered? You see, we get into the world's mindset and way, and we think that, oh, it's so exhausting serving God. You know, we got to have a break. I guess my season is up. I haven't got grace anymore. Find grace. Because Hebrews says that when you need grace, you go and find it. And right here, you have to, Abraham ran quickly, even though he was in a mess. And you may think, I'm just waiting for me to be qualified. Friends, I want to tell you, God is not concerned about your mess. He wants to put the promises of God in and through your life. Why does he do that? Because he said that it gets to them. And when the curds and the milk and the calf had been prepared, he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. God had to eat the meal to get Abraham to the place that he needed him to, under the shade of the tree. So what has God got to do with your life to get you into the place that he needs you to be to receive what you need to receive? Because in the doorway, sin is crouching, it's a revolving, and you need to get away from that place, and you need to stand under the tree, which is the cross, so that in that place you may receive what you need to receive. How's that? It's incredible, isn't it? And then they said to him, where is Sarah? Why is this? The keyboard is not got up. I was told. I need the anointing, guys. He says, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. and the Lord said, but she was like miffed. She was not coming out. She was like, I've had a fight with this oak, and there's no ways I'm coming. Yeah? And he's just wasting all this food, 10 times much food, just for someone who's made, you know, whatever. Okay, I'm just conjecturing. I'm just going like, because I think sometimes we blame God for a whole lot of things that he didn't actually do. And then he said, she's in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you in about this time next year. Say next, this time next year. I can't say that it's going to be on the 7th of April 2025. I want to tell you that if you would run quickly and find the grace of God about this time next year, you'll carry the promises of God. Sarah was listening in the tent, the door. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of woman, she had gone through menopause, had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed. That wasn't just like, yes, that was funny. She laughed with scorn. She said, that'll never be. It's impossible. You know what? How many of you said that's impossible? And you really believe it. And go like, I thank God that he doesn't take my scorn as the end of the story. Because if he did, we'd be all finished. And he still says, but the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed? So forth. In verse 14 it says, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? Wow. Your situation, your circumstance. Is anything too hard for the Lord to do? Do you know that this phrase, this promise, this is what the Lord spoke. This is what God spoke to Abraham. It's repeated right throughout Scripture. You'll find it all over Scripture. You'll even find Jesus quoting it. He says, nothing is impossible for God. So what happened? Well, if you go to chapter 21, verse 1, it says, and the Lord visited, say visited, visited Sarah, and she gave birth. She conceived. Yo! When I looked at that, I said, Lord, what does this visited mean? And it means this. It means a divine action in a divine time. A divine action in a divine time. I believe that this is a divine time. We are facing this year a doorway in our nation. We're in transition. And we could either go around a revolving door and go into greater mess, or we could walk through the door of transition into a greater South Africa. But it's because of the kingdom of God that's going to make all the difference, that we find the grace of God. And we need to pray. I get that. Because there's a scripture that says if you would pray. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more scripture that says we need to find grace, which is the power of heaven enabling us to do supernaturally what we can't do naturally. And so she was visited. You know, we can't reverse the effects of time, can we? But we can. We can't reverse time, but we can reverse the effects of time. That's right, sorry. We can't reverse time. Anybody ever been able to? I just know one guy, Joshua, has stopped the clock. But we can't reverse the time. I mean, how many? The world is obsessed with trying to change the time, isn't it? Trying not to grow old. We will not stop the clock, but we can ask God to reverse the effects of time. And you may be standing at a later stage in life like I am, and I'm going, God, I may only have how many years left, I do not know. But these last remaining years, man, I want you to reverse the effects of all of the stuff, the mess in my life, the doors that I got caught in, the promises that you said I would have, but I've gone around in circles. It's time for me to run quickly, get out, go. I just want to go back to, as we close, maybe let's stand this morning. Let's stand. I said to you that when God changed the name of Abraham and Sarah, he put an H into their name. He put grace in there. And I believe that God wants to put grace into your name, into your story. He wants to bring a simple story of grace to unravel a very complex issue. But you know, when it comes to God's name, he put two H's in. Yahweh is spelt in Hebrew, YHWH. Is that right? It'll come up, I think. There we go. And in the letters of the Hebrew, it's YHWH. Say YHWH. YHWH. Okay, so what they would do in Hebrew, it goes backwards because, you know, they spell it the other way. They write, go from right to left. But Yodeh Vaveh means hand, behold, nail, behold. Hand, behold, nail, behold. Or behold the nailed hand. Did you know that the scripture is true when it says that he was sacrificed before the foundations of the world? Even in his name, Yahweh, it carries two H's. It carries grace beyond grace. It carries the message of the gospel. It carries the message of the cross. It carries this beautiful, the Ruach of God, the grace of God that comes in and transforms everything. Behold the nailed hand. Behold, say behold. I'm hoping that from today, you'll never read behold again in the same light. That whenever you especially get behold and a comma, you go, let me stop. Because right now God wants to reveal something significant to us. He wants to bring grace upon grace. He wants to bring a simple gospel story to unravel a very complex issue in my life. Father, thank you that in the complexities of this life and what sin has done, you separated us from God. Because of sin, we were separated. But yet you made a way through the, behold, the nailed hand. Father, I'm asking that in this moment, that you would come upon your people. And maybe just as you are right now, maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, never realized that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He died the death that you and I should have died, that his hands were nailed to a cross so that we could receive the grace and the favor from a Father, so that we could fulfill the purposes to which God created us and put us on this planet. If you've never done that before, I'd love you and have the privilege and honor to go, hey, Craig, would you pray for me? If you're here this morning and you're going, that's me, I'm a great sinner in a great mess and in need of a great Savior. Won't you just raise your hands where you are? Just put up your hand so that I can see it. Anyone here this morning that wants to surrender their life to Christ? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, let's give him a great hand. Come on. I don't know. We celebrate. Do you celebrate? And so if that was you this morning, I just want you to say the simple declaration of belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Say, Father, this morning, I repent of my sin that has separated me from you. I now receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you come, wash my sins clean, restore me in relationship to you so that I may live out my purposes, your will, your ways, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.